Are you ready for the word? You all had a good holiday, good Christmas, great new year. Well, it's about to get better. I'm so excited about 2016. I said it in the earlier services. If you were not in those services, I encourage you to get the DVD next week. I believe this year is the year of alignment. The year of alignment. The year where we align ourselves according to God's word, His ways, and His purposes. And I really believe that every church or churches or people that do that, or groups of people, are the ones that God's going to even use more for His glory. Amen. Let's keep on winning the lost. Let's keep on making disciples. And let's keep on loving God and loving people. I want to talk to you from the topic in this sermon, a new year, a fresh start. Slap your neighbor, say, it's a new year. And slap another one and say, it's a fresh start. A new year, a fresh start. The word fresh means the following: newly made or obtained. Newly made. So when we're talking about something that is fresh, it is something that's newly made or obtained. It means recently arrived. It also means just come. So when we're talking about something as fresh, we're actually saying that it has just come and it is newly arrived, and we are actually saying we've obtained something that is new. It means addition or additional or further. So when we're talking about something's fresh, have you heard any people say that was fresh? It's a fresh song, or it's a fresh quote, or it's just a fresh saying. Then they're actually telling you that it's a new saying, or it's a additional saying, or it's something further than the usual. And I really believe, family, that the great thing of this time of the year is that it's a new year. It's a fresh year. It's a new start. It's something new that is obtained for everyone. There's not a person here that can say that this is not the new year for you. So a new year is a fresh start. It is freshly obtained. Every one of you can say, I have received something fresh. Something fresh. And what you are going to do with this new year is entirely up to you. What are you going to do with this new fresh thing that you've received is entirely up to you. And I believe this time of the year is God's way of telling us, or giving man, a fresh start, a recently arrived thing where we can all clean the slate and we can all start all over. Amen. The Bible says that the mercies of the Lord is new every morning. It's fresh every morning. And I want to tell you, every year in the beginning of the year, God is actually trying to tell you, hey, this is a fresh start. This is a new beginning. This is a new start for you. And what you are going to do with 2016 is entirely up to you. It is an additional year to your life, and you and I need to make it count. So in January, in this time of the year, we should all be excited. We should all be thankful. This is a new year. It's a fresh thing. It's a fresh start. It's something new that is added to your life. And you have the opportunity to do something great with 2016. Don't let 2016 be the year that you repeat 2015. It is not a repeat. Something that is fresh is not a repeat. 2016 need to be an additional, something that you add. You have to take 2015 further. So what you did, if you did great things for God in 2015, you need to add some stuff to it. You need to take it further. If you have changed in certain areas of your life with the help of the Lord, then this year, we're not going to repeat that what we already did. We're going to take it further. It's a new thing. It's a fresh start. It's God's way of telling you, you can start all over. Every one of you can start all over. And what you're going to do with 2016 is entirely up to you. Don't blame people. Don't blame God. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the pastors. The only one that you can blame is yourself. So make it count. Make up your mind today. I've received a fresh start. I'm excited. 2015, I'm going further than 2015. Use it as something that is fresh. Use it wisely. Do something with it that will better your life. If you are in a courtship, make up your mind to get married this year. Add something to your life. In Job chapter 8 verse 7, the Bible says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would be increased abundantly. Wow. That's a prophetic scripture. Every one of you should have stood up and say, hallelujah, that's mine, Pastor. I claim that scripture. Amen. Job 8:7 says the following, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Amen. Well, you've received a fresh start. I just told you, you received something fresh from God, a new year. Even though it might be small today, if you make up your mind that you're going to increase, that you are going to go further, that you're going to do everything possible to have a better year than 2015, you might have it small today, but at the end of this year, your life will be increased abundantly. Amen. Make up your mind that with God, all things are possible. Make up your mind that if God is your partner, you can dream fresh dreams. You can dream big dreams. You can trust God to do the imaginable things in this year. Even though it's just a small idea. When you commit that idea today to the Lord, I promise you by the end of this year, if you keep on being faithful, serving the Lord, trusting Him, putting faith to it, by the end of this 2016, you will increase abundantly. Friends, it is never too late with Jesus. No matter how old you are, no matter what you went through or going through, when you have Jesus in your camp, it is never too late. No matter what you have in your hand, you might not be dealt more than the friend next to you. You might not have more pounds in your pocket than the one next to you. It's not a matter of that. It might be a small thing, but if you dedicate it to the Lord this time of the year and you put faith to it and you keep on working with it, your end will be more abundantly than your beginning. With Jesus, it's never too late. If you have Jesus in your camp, you have a fresh start every day. And for every man on this planet, 1st of January 2016 is God's way of telling you, you have received something fresh. You can do something in 2016 that you've never done before. Friends, it's never too late with Jesus. You are never too old for Him to use you. It's never too late, no matter what circumstances you go through, for God to come and do a fresh thing, a new thing in your life. And I believe that 2016, for our church and for every member of our church, it's going to be better and it's going to be bigger. In Job 42 verse 12, it says, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Now, I don't know why he said female donkeys or not men donkeys. I'm a little bit offended, but maybe it's because female donkeys can increase or bring increase. But the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. There's one wonderful thing about God that we sometimes forget. That the longer you stay faithful, the greater God's going to bless you. A lot of people start off with God and He blesses them and then they become too blessed for God to use them. Please do not become that type of Christian. I have found people desperately serving the Lord. Oh, they do everything. They every Sunday at church, every service they serve, they do whatever they can, they give, they do, because they need a visa. Or they need a wife. Or they need a child. And then the visa comes, or the wife comes, or the child comes, and the business flourishes in such a way, then they stop serving, stop giving, stop doing the things that they did. Then they became too blessed for God to use them. I want to tell you that God wants to bless you and He wants to increase His blessing as you stay faithful to His cause right through your life. It says over here that Job was blessed in his latter days more than in his beginning. When you study the life of Job, you find that he was blessed when we start reading about him. He was extremely blessed. He was an extremely rich man. But the Bible says, through all Job went through at the latter days of his life, Job was more blessed than in the beginning. And I have seen this pattern in the lives of many men of God and women of God that serve God faithfully. The latter days are more blessed than the early days. So stay faithful in 2016. What you've learned in 2015, take it through into 2016. Add to it. Do more for God. Dream bigger dreams. But do not lose your faithfulness to the house of God. Do not lose your faithfulness to serving Jesus with all your heart by building the church and making disciples and dreaming big dreams for God. Be the church that Jesus wants us to be in this city and in this nation in 2000. Don't serve God to be blessed. You are blessed when you have Jesus in your boat. Just keep on being faithful and trust Him to increase. Because I tell you today, your latter days are going to be more blessed than your start. With Jesus in your life, friends, you have a fresh start every day. How can you be secure that 2016 is going to be greater than the past years? By getting yourself on Jesus' page of doing things. As God gives us a fresh year and almost telling us this is a new start for you, a new beginning, you can start all over. I believe that you can be sure that 2016 is going to be better than 2015 or the previous years when you get yourself back on Jesus' page. I mean, right through the year, we all go through life. Things happen. You lose a job. You get a job. You get a promotion. You find a boyfriend, a girlfriend, which we don't believe in. Where did it come from? You find somebody to marry after you prayed. Amen? But anyway, things happen and life goes on. And as life goes on, we sometimes forget to stay on Jesus' page. Now, His page is not your page. And your page is not His page. And every now and then, I believe the beginning of the year is to bring us back to what it's all about. It's all about Him. It's all through Him. It is all by Him. And it's all because of Him. But it will all happen through you. So you and I have to get ourselves back on His page. And let Him be God in our lives. And let Him increase us. And let Him use us. And let Him train us. And let Him do and be through us whatever heaven wants Him to be in and through us. The Bible says He came to live in and among and through us. So allow God to grow in you so that He can grow through you and to touch the world in 2016. I tell you, when you get on Jesus' page every year, you need to have a few days where you get back to what it's all about. Use January 2016 as a time where you reflect of where you really are with your relationship with God, with doing what God wanted you to do in 2016. Make a tick list of all the stuff that God has spoken to you in 2015 that you didn't get to do. Anybody here? You knew that God said, do this, and you forgot. Well, He didn't forget. So write them down. Repent that you didn't get to it. Write down the new things that He wants you to do and make a commitment. I am going to tick them off one by one during 2016. Friends, what you will declare will become your future. What you will declare will become your future. Now, I know I said in the earlier service, don't be like those Christians that just declare and declare and declare and think that everything is just going to be smooth sailing through your life. Well, you have to declare. Because what you are declaring this now, in this month, is what you're going to have in the future. this, if you don't declare, you're not going to walk into what you want. Praying is not the thing that will get you there. You have to learn to become a Christian that declares stuff. You pray, but you also declare. Praying is getting your focus on God and His power. Declaring is knowing who He made you to be. So if you are always just a praying Christian, you don't realize who He made you to be. So prayer takes our focus on where the power comes from, who He is. He's my God. He's my Savior. I am a relationship. I'm in a partnership with Him. It's all by Him. It's all because of Him. It's all for Him. And it's all through me. But you need to get to a place where your prayer, after you prayed, that you now declare. Anybody here wants a new house? A new husband? I'll put up your hand. Do you want a new car? No, it's not a claim it and frame it. It's not that you declare every door is going to be open. But after you prayed, you need to declare. And what you are declaring is going to be your future. I can still remember when we moved into this auditorium, the first service, in 2009, February 2009. There were less people in that service than there are here today. And there I said, one day we will have multiple services in this venue. One day we will have thousands of people coming to church services. And I saw the people's faces. It's like some of you here today. What is He on? Well, the Holy Spirit. Today we have church services where there were thousands of people. Four services in this auditorium, one in Wimbledon, planning another one in Northwest London, planting churches. I can still remember declaring, Lord, thank you that we will have 500 people in a church service. Every prayer, Monday night prayer meeting, we declared 500 people in a church service. We will be 800 people in membership. I've got it on my iPad. Every now and then I flick through it. All the stuff that we declared, eventually, it became our future. You have a fresh start. You have a new beginning. Now, in 2016, January, make a list of what you want. Then get that in line with God's purpose, God's will, and God's plan. Then start to declare it, because what you declare is going to be your future. Too many of us, of you, are still praying. Prayer is great. And all the power comes through praying. But there's a time in a Christian's life where Christ wants you to become the man and the woman He made you to be, knowing that you have authority. Let me explain it to you. There's some dead stuff in your life. The new car that you have, it's still dead. It's not in your driveway yet. In it? So here's Jesus. He's on His way to resurrect Lazarus. Have you read the story about Lazarus? Lazarus is dead. It's 4 days in the grave. What did Jesus do? Jesus got to the situation, and the Bible says He prayed. He said, Father, show these people Your glory. And then, after He prayed, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, come out of the grave. And Lazarus came out of the grave. So Jesus showed us how to resurrect dead stuff. You thank God for His miraculous power. You thank God for His glory. You thank God that He has enabled us to call dead things to life. Doesn't the Bible say that we serve the God that brings the dead to life, that makes new things out of nothing? And God wants you. Jesus prayed. He thanked the Father. But then He declared, Lazarus, come forth. And when Lazarus came out of that thing looking like a mummy, He told His disciples, go and loose that man. He kept on declaring and He kept on commanding. Are you with me? So whatever you want in the future, you need to start declaring it. In Genesis chapter 1, and I've shared this with you a few times, in verse 1 to 12, I'm going to do it once again today. We read through it. Now, observe and tell me what you see. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Wow. This is the creation process. What you need to notice here is that it says that the Spirit of God was hovering. Now, do you know what it means to hover? It was just floating. It's like the hoverboard in Back to the Future. Can you guys remember? So the Holy Spirit was just hovering over the face of the earth. It was just there, ready. Now I tell you today that the Holy Spirit is here. He's ready. He's just hovering. He's hovering over your life. He's hovering. He's there. If you are in Jesus, Jesus is in your camp, the Holy Spirit is hovering over your life. But the Holy Spirit will hover until you start to do what God did in the beginning. Look at it, it says over here. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. It says, and God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. Now just there, there's so much for you to see. It says the Holy Spirit was hovering. Then God said. Then God saw. And then God called. Church, let this be the year where you know that the Holy Spirit is ready to move on your life. Let this be the year where you start speaking. Let this be the year where you start to see some stuff with your spiritual eyes. And let this be the year where you start to call things that be not as though they are. There's no difference between me and you. There was a time in my life where I sat in the same, not maybe not the same seat that you are sitting in, but where I was also sitting and thinking, well, he must be God's favorite. God poured out a special dash upon him. No, there's no special dash upon me. I just heard men of God speak and teach and preach this, what I'm sharing with you. And I thought, I'm going to try it. Now, I have to be honest with you. If I did it every day of my life as I should, all of you would have envied me more. Because I would have been much further and had a bigger increase than I have now. I thank God for what has happened to me. Now, once I was alone. Now I am a father of 5 kids and a beautiful wife. And I have a great church that loves Jesus and is changing the world. But what I want to say is, if I just kept on seeing, kept on speaking, kept on calling, and kept on releasing the Holy Spirit to do what God purposed in my heart to do, I would have been much further. And in this time, I want to say to you, see what God did here in the beginning to create stuff. It's time for you and I to become the sons of God, to know that God has empowered us to see things, to call things, to speak things in existence, and to bless things. It says over here, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then again, God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters from the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heaven. God called this space sky, and evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, do you see it there? Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Friends, we are living
in the faith lane. We are living in the faith zone. When you are in the kingdom, everything is by faith. No amount of crying in praying is going to change things. Oh, Lord. And you cry. Stop crying. Stop crying. God is not like your husband, manipulated by your crying.
Come on. Right. Yes.
Stop the crying. Learn to become the man and woman that God wants you to be. Yes. There's stuff that you need to see with your spiritual eyes. You need to see it. I can remember years ago when we started, when we took over the church, Cora and myself, we had a prayer meeting. And this specific venue, we couldn't even, if we took all the guys that came to pray and we took hands and we stretched out around the room, we couldn't even touch the four walls. It was a discouraging moment in my life. And I can remember those days I said to the guys as we pray, see the church venues full of people. See people standing in lines queuing to come into a church service. Now I have to tell you, some of them look at me like you are looking at me at this moment. Disbelief. But if you can see in your spiritual eyes the future, and it's in line with God's word, and you can start to speak it and call it and declare it and bless it, I promise you sooner or later you're going to walk into that. Because that is the unmerited favor which we call as grace in your life. Grace empowers you to see. Grace empowers you to proclaim. Grace empowers you to receive right now that is your future. There's a future much bigger than what you are having now. And God is going to bless your latter days more than your starting days. Never despise the days of small beginnings. Learn how God creates things. If you are made in His image and you and I are the sons and the daughters of God, then we have to become like our Father. Speak it. Speak it. Call it. See it. Declare it. And bless whatever God has given you. When last did you bless your finances? When last did you bless your paycheck? Anybody here that blessed your paycheck? Anybody here that blessed their paychecks or their account? You have to go every week if you are paid weekly. Take that slip and bless it in the name of Jesus. Now, blessing it is also committing it too. You see, that's why so many of you are not blessing it. Because you just want the blessing. Jesus is preaching. He has 5,000 hungry men sitting and listening to him. He looks at these disciples and say, feed the people. They all almost got a heart attack. Because 5,000 hungry men, that is without children and without the women. There were thousands of people listening to him. He looked at his 12 disciples and say, feed the people. They said, but we don't have food. He says, what do you have? It's like pastor saying to you, bring your tithes, pledge. What do I have? Well, you have a paycheck. You see, the young man came to Jesus. He said, I have 2 fishes and 5 loaves. 2 fish and 5 loaves. Thousands of people. What did Jesus do? Jesus took what he brought. He blessed it. Dedicated to the Father, and start distributing it. We read the story that there was 12 baskets of fish and bread left over after that miracle. I want to tell you, take your finances, take your paycheck, bless it from today. Bless it. Lord, I bless this, not just to get a blessing. I'm blessing it, and I'm dedicating it to you. Therefore, whatever you ask me to give, I am going to give. Whatever your word says I should give, I am going to give it. And I tell you today, God Almighty will show Himself God in your life. And you will have more than enough. That small beginning of 2 fish and 5 loaves turn out to be an abundant of blessing. Yes. Some of you don't have because God can't trust you with more. You are going to stay poor for the rest of your life. Well, I didn't come to this church to hear this. You came to hear truth. You are going to be poor for the rest of your life. That young boy could have said, I only had 2 fish and 5 loaves. He could also look around and say, 12, 15,000 people? What is my little bit going to do? He didn't have that mindset. He said, here's mine. I'm going to bring the little bit that I have. And that little bit fed all those people. And I truly believe some Christians will stay poor because they never dedicate their finances unto God. They never give to Him what is His. They want to be blessed, but they don't want to give. You cannot be blessed if you're not prepared to give. Take your finances, dedicate it to the Lord, bless it in Jesus' name, and then let God be God when it comes to your giving and to your finances. And that is all to bless other people. And you will be extremely blessed through the process. He says, then God said again, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and tree that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees and seed-bearing fruit. Their seed produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw, do you see it there? It was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made 2 great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God said, these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the 4th day. Then God said, do you see it? Let the water swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds and every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of its same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Do you see it there? Yes. To be fruitful and multiply, it has to be blessed. You didn't get this because you would have been much more excited just hearing this. You want your increase, your finances to increase and to multiply, amen. Then you need to bless it.
Amen.
When God blesses something, He blesses it for His purpose. Amen. Now I get no amens. You want to increase and multiply, you first need to bless it. Dedicate it to God. Dedicated to His ways. Dedicated to His purposes. That's what happened with the young man. He came to Jesus. He brought what he had, not for him, but for the people. What Jesus did, Jesus knew that if he wanted this to increase, he first had to bless it. Go read it. Yes. Then he blessed it, thanked God for it, and he started to produce. And through that, it came to multiplication upon multiplication. Suddenly it's awful quiet. You're going to stay a poor Christian. And I pray that you stay poor. There's nothing more awful than a stingy Christian. Because you don't know who God made you to be. God has made us to be the generous inside and out like His Son, to be a blessing. A tight-fisted Christian is an awful thing. It is not a person or a creation that God wants us to be. God wants us to live open. God wants us to live with a generous heart. Stop being stingy. Take God at His word. Didn't God say, if you give, I will open up heavens. I will bless you so much that you can't contain it. What more do you need? But every week and every month you cry out, Lord, I want this. And Lord, I can't pay this. Let 2016 be a different year in your life. Take God at His word. If God is God, He's going to show Himself strong. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a church. You just need somebody to tell you to take God at His word. You know, God wants you to live an extremely blessed life. Doesn't want you to scrape by. But unless you're going to get on Jesus' page, you're going to scrape by. You're going to go in, year out. Everything else is going to change except your financial situation. Stop. Say hold. I'm going to take God as His word. If God says give a tithe, I give a tithe. If God says pledge that, I pledge that. If God says bless that person, I bless that person. If God says do this, I do it. If the church say let's do this, I'm going to be involved. If you learn to live like that and you start declaring, I promise you, you building God's house, God will build your house. It's not what I said, it's what He is saying. I have found that to build a house, you need much more than willpower. To build a house, you need much more than a plan. To build a house, you need much more than laboring. You can have a plan, you can have labors, you can have everything, but you don't have money. Nothing's happening. And many of us live like that way. We've got a budget, we've got a plan, we are prepared to work, but we don't give to God what God wants us to give. Nothing happens. And it's awful quiet. Happy New Year. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, every producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals, scurrying along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. And God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce. It's a phenomenon. What's the right word? A phenomena. Is that the right word? Phenomenon. Say again. A phenomenon to me. That God created new creations, but they don't produce nothing. You are born again, but you produce nothing. It's a phenomenon to me. And that you can sit there and think that you are right, producing nothing. When you look at God's creation process, whatever He created was for production. To reproduce. Let 2016 start by this revelation. God has saved you to reproduce. And what you need to reproduce is not physical babies only, but spiritual babies. You need to reproduce whatever God has done into your life, into the lives of other people. Let it be the year where you realize that God has saved you to save other people. God has blessed you to bless other people. God is using you so that you can help other people to be used by God. It says over here, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry around the ground. What we see over here is the Holy Spirit ready to move, but he didn't move until God said. And the Bible said that God saw whatever he created was good. There's stuff that you need to see when you spend time with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't spend time with God in such a way that you see nothing. Learn to see. Use your imagination. Don't let the devil use your imagination. Don't let Hollywood use your imagination. Use your imagination for God. When you pray, forget about the girl standing next to you. When you pray, forget about your problems. When you pray, see your future. When you pray, see that scripture where God says you are now the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. See your future as you pray. Then start to declare it. Speak it. Call it forth. Amen. Amen. I can remember the day when God said to me that Karen's going to be my wife. Do you know when we hear the story?
Yeah.
I was full of zeal. God said, she's going to be my wife. I made a pact with God that after I got born again, I will not take a girl for coffee even if she's not my wife. So few people told me to pray for my wife. I said to them, I'm not going to pray. Marius was one day he at a prayer meeting. He came to me. He said, I've got news. I said, what's it? He says, God just told me we should pray for our wives. I said to him, I'm not going to pray for my wife because then God's going to give me a wife and I don't have time for a wife. I'm building church. So a few days later, somebody else phoned me and said, hey, bro, the Holy Spirit said to me, you should start praying for your wife. I thought, okay, then I'll have to start praying. So I prayed. I didn't pray even long. I just prayed a few days or a few hours. And then the more I pray, I just see Karen's face. So I didn't notice her because she was standing in front of church behind the pillow, a piano. I was sitting there and I saw her every Sunday, but I never saw her in such a way. And suddenly it was as if God opened my eyes. Here it is in front of you. All right? So I thought, okay, cool. If this is the case, then God needs to give me scripture. So I said, Lord, I'm not doing anything. Give me scripture. I prayed the night. God gave me a scripture that confirmed in my heart that she's my wife. So I thought, God said it. I prayed. God gave me a scripture. This is bulletproof. I am going to now pursue it. I asked Karen to go to coffee, have coffee with me. First, she didn't want to, so I said, I have a word for her. But I had a word. So we went for coffee, and as we sat down, Karen said to me, why are you taking me for coffee? You take no girl, nobody for coffee. What are people going to think when we go for coffee? And I was taken back. And I thought, do you really want to know? And she says, yes, I want to know. So I said to her, well, God said to me, I'm going to marry you, and you and I need to become friends. You should have seen her face. Priceless. So we had a coffee, and all communications died after that coffee. No communication from her side, nothing. So I didn't cry. All I did, I went into my room, and I started to pray. And I declared for God to open up her eyes so that she will see what I see. And I still pray that prayer today. It wasn't 3 weeks later and she asked me to marry her. No, I'm just joking. I have to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So I didn't cry. I didn't text her, oh, I love you, and everything's going to be fine, and, you know, later. I didn't rely upon my own. I went back into my room because a friend tells me, do not take that. Go into your room and pray and declare and call things to happen. So I did it. So it wasn't 3 weeks later, and we were engaged. Now, I don't suggest that for all of you. That was my journey. But from the beginning to the end, I trusted God. From the beginning. The size of a ring, the day that we're going to get married, God gave all of that long before I even wanted. I asked. I went into my prayer closet. But there I saw the power of calling things into existence and stop praying about it. I could have prayed, oh Lord, this and this. I prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak to that woman, wherever she is. I command her eyes to be opened in Jesus' name. You said to me that this is your wife. You said to me, this is the scripture that confirms it. And on that authority, I speak to her wherever she is right now. And I declare in the name of Jesus her eyes to be opened and that she will see what I see in Jesus' name. I didn't pray and cry for 10 hours. Short, powerful, and God opened our eyes. So if it worked for me in a small area, it can work for you in every day of your life. God said it, God saw it, God called it, and God blessed it. God created everything by speaking, by seeing, by calling, and by blessing. And I suggest us as a church need to get onto Jesus' page. And family, Jesus wants every area of your life to be saved. He wants every area of your life to have kingdom salvation and every area of your life to be in line with His plan and His purposes for your life. And He wants to lift your life to a higher level of life. You think you were blessed in 2015? When you get on Jesus' page in 2016, you are going to go higher, you're going to go further, and you're going to become bigger. He wants us to proclaim these things in every area of our lives, declaring it with authority. In Isaiah 48 verse 3, it says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them. Ow! And they came to pass. I can preach on that for a whole week. What did God say over here? He says, I declared the former things from the beginning. They went from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. And suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass. There's some suddenlies that's going to happen in your life this year when you start in your prayer closet and speak to your future. There's some suddenlies that God is going to bring forth when you declare it with the authority of the name of Jesus in 2016. Some suddenlies that God is going to bring forth in your life. In Job 22, 28, it says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established in you. Now listen, don't think that when you are going to declare to have that Ferrari, and you don't have a job, things are going to happen. It ain't going to happen that way. I'll declare that I will drive that Ferrari in the name of Jesus. But you don't serve God. You're not planted in the house of God. You're not faithful in giving. When you are faithful, when you are planted, when you honor God with your giving, when you grow in church, and you declare stuff in line with His word and His purposes, then God is going to bring it forth. You will declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Wow, powerful. Zechariah chapter 9, 12 says the following. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Didn't God say that you are now slaves? No. Though, do you know that you're a slave? Every one of you are slaves. They told you you're free. It's a lie. The Bible says that you are now slaves unto God. You were slaves unto sin, but you are now a slave unto God. But the Bible also says that we are now prisoners of hope. Well, that doesn't sound like good news, but it is. It's very good news. You're a prisoner with hope. We are all prisoners of hope. Even though you find and feel like you're in a prisoner, you are in a prison with hope. It says over here, return to the stronghold. Wow! What is the stronghold? The stronghold is God's protection, God's way of doing things. And every time God wants to move in His people, He will always call them back to His way of doing things, to His house, to His purposes. And it's always to build His house. It's always for the nation. It is never for them. When God calls you to the stronghold, it's not for you. It is to bring you back so that you can influence the nation. He says, come, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. There's some of you that lost your way in your journey with Jesus. It happens. We don't pray that it happens, but it happens. God plants you in the church, then a relationship or a job opportunity comes your way, and you go astray. You find yourself back in the world, back into wrong stuff. Now, I tell you, I have seen this, that those who come back to the place that they left and plant themselves, they have double than what they left at the end of the day. God restored to them. Job was the same thing. Job didn't even stray or walked away from God. He stayed in the presence, in the purposes, and God increased him increasingly. But I have to say to you, there's people that lost their way in their walk with God. They went back to the world, but then they heard the call of God calling them back. They get back to the stronghold. In the stronghold, they are prisoners of hope. And I tell you, I've seen this scripture coming alive in their lives, that they have double and more in the end of their lives. So if you lost your way, there's hope. Come back to God's stronghold, and God is going to keep on increasing you. God honors those who turn back to Him and follow His purpose for their lives. Family, I believe that this is a word for our church and for every member serving Jesus in this vision, that we are prisoners of hope and that God is going to increase. The following scripture is what I believe for 2016 for our church. It says, Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things have come to pass. Behold, sit and look at what happened in the past. God doesn't want us to focus on our past, but God wants us to focus on what He did in the past in our lives. When we lose focus of what God did in the past of our lives, we move away from God. Every now and then, you need to behold what God has done in your life. This is the scripture for every member of this church and every person serving Jesus in this vision. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Two things. Church, in 2009, when God and myself took over the church, God gave me a vision to reach 1 million people. And we set out a plan to build the church that's 1 million strong. And since 2012, since the day we implemented the plan for 25 years, every year we have reached what we've declared and walked for and set forth. And I believe this is a scripture for every one of you and for our church. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Keep on declaring. Keep going. God is busy moving, and God is busy speaking, and God is busy doing stuff in your life. Do not lose heart. Do not let anybody get you out of God's purpose. Do not let anybody or anything get you out of the church that God has planted you. Keep on keeping on. Because if God did the former things and they came to pass, then whatever He declared and whatever we declare is a sure thing to happen. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Declare the future. Allow God to speak to your future through you. And I tell you, if the past came to pass, the future is a sure thing when it's in line with God's word, God's ways, and God's purposes. Amen? Amen. What you are declaring is going to be your future. Don't stop declaring. Get your declarations in line with God's word, in line with God's ways, in line with God's purposes. And do not forget what God has done through and in you in the past. Look at it. Look back. Since the day you gave your life to Jesus, remember the promises He made to you. And do not forget that the future is better and that your latter days are going to be greater than the days you start to serve Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement in 2016 that we have the power and the authority of Jesus to call those things that be not as though they are. Thank you, Lord, that we can see the pattern of creation where we can speak things, we can see things, we can call them, and we can bless them in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is ready even right now upon every life and every member and every person in this church, ready to move in their lives. Those who know you, that is dreaming for bigger and greater things in 2016, Lord, as they declare it, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is prepared to bring it forth in an instant. But also right now, Father, I thank you that there are people that's in need of your saving grace. They're not sure that if they die, they will go to heaven. They're not having the assurance of eternal life. Maybe you are here today and you say, Tabu, I know my life is not right with God, but I want to make right with Him. I want to have the full assurance of eternal life. I want to go to heaven one day. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to have a relationship with Him. And friend, if that is you, I want to tell you that that is one prayer away. That is one decision away. The Bible says, if you can hear His voice and you can believe, you will be saved. The Bible says that if you return to God through repentance, turning away from your old life and focusing on the new life that He has given you, you are going to be saved and used by God. And if it's you that are here today, maybe you just need to know that God loves you. You've never realized or heard that God loves you, that He died for you 2,000 years ago so that today you can have the ability to choose life. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've lost somebody and you are angry towards God. I want to tell you that God is the giver of life, not the taker of life. But today you have an opportunity to make right with Him. Today you have an opportunity to commit your life to Him. If it's you that I'm talking about, while all the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed and you say, Tabu, that's me, let me please pray with you. And if it's you, wherever you are, and you say you want to be included in that prayer, I want you to quietly just slip up your hand and show me and say, Tabu, here I am. Please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to make right with God. If there's anybody here today that I can pray for in this service, you're not 100% sure that your life is right with God, but you want to be right with Him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.